Do you really want to be the subject of some alien autopsy show on the Fox Network?
Hi, I'm Dean Martin, and you're listening to HarmaCast, the Alexander Harmonizers podcast. Coming up to it next week, November the 8th at 3 p.m. is a historic event, the joint show between the Pride of Baltimore Chorus and the Alexander Harmonizers. Today I was lucky enough to get representatives from both choruses on the phone, Brad Jones from the Harmonizers and Adele Jones from the Pride of Baltimore Chorus. I think you're going to enjoy the interviews today. First of all, here's Brad Jones, president of the Alexander Harmonizers. Brad, maybe you could fill us in a little on what events led up to this historic joint show.
Sure. We've been talking to Pride of Baltimore informally for several years about trying to get a joint show together, and actually I had spoken with their former director about it several years ago, but it hadn't worked out in terms of time frames. Both their regional competition and their international tended to fall right around the time we were having our spring and fall shows, and so that had partially made it difficult to get it scheduled. And in this past year, when unfortunately their former director passed away, they decided that they were going to not go to international this year, since they would be just getting a new director. And they were actually, I was talking to their president, and their president was looking for something they could work on to keep everyone excited about the fall. And so the show worked out to finally fit together with both our schedules.
I was looking online at the venue, and it looks like a really great auditorium. Is that a venue that I've only been involved with Harmonizers for a short period of time, but is that a place that you've used before? Is it a Pride of Baltimore staple, or what made you choose that great auditorium?
Actually, the venue was new for both of us. When we decided to do the show, we started looking at what venues were available that would be sort of between where the two choruses center their activities. And we had actually looked initially at the Stratmore in Rockville as being a good location, because it had lots of parking and access to the metro system, and it was close by the highways. But it was not initially available on the dates we were looking for, any of the dates we were looking for. And so we kept looking around, and we started checking the universities to see what they had. And we found out that Maryland had this rather impressive concert hall. It's actually, there's three different theaters in this particular art center, and the concert hall is the largest. And so we took a look at it, and it's really just a beautiful facility.
Yeah, I was online a month or so ago to purchase my own tickets, and took me a couple minutes to figure out exactly which hall was in, because they have several of them advertised on their website. But it really does look like a beautiful hall.
Yeah, it's one of those halls that the acoustics have been designed so that in theory, you can just have one person speaking on the stage, and they can be heard by the last person in the last row of the balcony. And so it's acoustically, they have the ability, they use curtains, but they have the ability to actually adjust the acoustics by closing off curtains on the side of the auditorium and try and maximize the quality of the sound that the audience hears. So I think it's going to be a very good venue. And one of the benefits to us was University of Maryland offered the venue to nonprofit organizations for half of the normal cost.
Wow! Yeah, you can't beat that. Yeah. And it's only been a couple months now that Joe has been director of both choruses. How long it's been? Like a year or so since he started with the Harmonizers, or has it been more than that?
Let's see. He will be coming up on his the end of 3 years, I think.
Oh.
This coming January.
Okay. It's a little longer than I had thought.
Yeah. He's coming up on 3 years. Pride, actually, when we decided to do the show, Pride hadn't selected their new director yet. They were in the midst of the search. You know, I was aware that Joe was one of those being considered, but they really didn't have a director selected, so the show was truly put together in the initial stages just by the chorus members themselves.
Wow, I didn't realize that. You know, and this might be a delicate subject. Did you have any trepidation about Joe trying to share two championship choruses?
No, I didn't. In fact, I thought it was a beneficial thing. You always worry about somebody trying to snatch away your top person like that. But in this instance, being geographically so close, I personally viewed it as an opportunity that would ensure Joe would want to stay in the area for the long term, and it would present opportunities such as this where we can collaborate and do things that I have no question that if we'd wanted to do the joint songs with two different directors, it would have been much harder when we got together in those joint rehearsals than it was when the same director was directing both choruses.
That's an excellent point. And the songs, just as a disclosure, I've only been coming several weeks and joined 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago now. But the songs that you're doing as joint songs are, at least Scarborough Fair is an incredibly difficult song in my opinion, and it would be almost impossible to pull those two choruses together on that song without a lot of cohesion between directors or having the same director coaching or preparing both choruses.
I think that's true.
Now, you say Joe has been there almost 3 years now, which is a little longer than I thought, but one of the things that's really impressed me just the couple times that I've been there and visited or been under his tutelage, and I don't want to just suck up to Joe, but the way that he coaches a chorus, kind of gentle encouragement and not really beating everybody up each week, but a lot of positive reinforcements. Talk a little bit about what Joe's influence has meant to the chorus.
Yeah, I think when Joe first came, I was in a different role then. I was music and performance VP, and Alan Weil was president. But we did talk to him about what we wanted to see, to try and help the chorus start growing and getting back to being a real powerhouse in terms of musical performance. And we talked to him about making sure that we did things that made Tuesday nights, every Tuesday night, attractive to the broadest group of our membership, and not to focus too much on just contests and shows, because contests and shows ultimately are just a day or two each, and the Tuesday nights are about 50 Tuesdays a year. And he not only agreed with that, but he's very conscious of it. So he recognizes that for those that are more musically talented, there has to be some challenges and some opportunities presented somewhere in our chapter, whether it's the chorus or Cameron Station or something like that. And at the same time, he recognizes that it's a volunteer organization, and if all you ever do is lecture and chastise and tell people to do more preparation and don't recognize the progress people have made, then there's no reason people have to come on Tuesday nights and have that. So he, and I think what he's been talking to us about recently with how we move to the next level is just a case of making sure we keep the balance between making sure we're enjoying what we're doing every Tuesday night, but still getting done what is ultimately what we want to do, which is sing better.
Yeah, the other thing that really impressed me, the other side of things, is that he allows the coaches and section leaders. Tony is just an incredible vocal coach, and the other presentation coaches or whatever, I see them, you know, just slipping in and making little comments, and Joe really doesn't allow his ego to prevent that from happening. I've often seen a director who really has to control everything that's going on. But for instance, if Joe pulls a section aside and work on something, one of the other section leaders or coaches will jump in. It's almost as if they read each other's mind, and it really creates a more cohesive evening and really no dead air time or downtime.
Yeah, it's something Joe's encouraged the section leaders to do from the moment he joined the harmonizers. He was of the belief that he recognized that some of the musical talent we have multiple people that have, they've got music degrees, or they directed other choruses, or they've been assistant directors of the harmonizers for almost as long as Joe's been alive, and so he recognized that from the standpoint of variety of experiences, there were a lot of things that they could bring to the table that he couldn't. And he would encourage them really on a weekly basis when he first came to say, I expect the section leaders, when you hear something that needs to be dealt with in your section, to not wait to a sectional. You can step out at the rehearsal and say something about it. And that was not the practice under Scotty, and it was not the practice under Richard. It was just a different style. And so it took a while for the section leaders to get comfortable doing that. But as time has gone by, they've gotten more and more comfortable in doing that. And Joe is very adept at building on what people say. That includes coaches as well. I think he takes every bit of advantage of what other people can bring to the table, and that's certainly one of his strong points.
Yeah, it makes it seem like more of a team effort, builds a lot of respect for the other section leaders and coaches, and just makes the entire evening move a lot faster and a lot more cohesive.
Right. Yeah, I agree, and I think it brings that attitude that he's trying to get, that ultimately it's only when we're all working on doing the same thing that we get better. He can't make anybody better. He can only tell them how they can make themselves better. And I think sort of exhibiting that team leadership concept even on a weekly basis helps that come to the fore for everybody.
Well, back to the show. It's only a week away, next Sunday, November the 8th at 3 p.m., and you can go to harmonizers.org or prideofbaltimorechorus.com. I've seen the musical lineup for the show. It's really looks like a great show. In fact, the majority of the tickets are sold. What are we at, 80 or 85%?
Yeah, I think we just passed 90%, so we're it's really going
well.
Yeah,
that's great. Hopefully we'll sell out, and if we sell out, people can still see the show, because I see there is going to be a webcast involved. And being kind of a technology fan, maybe you can tell me a little about what led up to lining up the webcast for the show.
Yeah, this is an idea that actually Mike Kelly approached us with, and he had done some research, and there was I can't tell you the exact name of the company, but there's a company that their business is to put on these webcasts for groups. And the beauty of it is that a lot of the things that would take us a lot of time, such as getting the bandwidth and getting the clearances and all that sort of thing for a broadcast, is what they take care of out of their share of the subscription fee. And the only obligation on our part is to get the feed to them. And this is our first foray into this, and we had Mike was able to arrange a very high quality, high def camera to be available, and to go over and run a test at the facility to make sure he could reach the internet with the feed. So we're basically going to set the camera up as though it was in a prime seat at this concert, and there will be an operator so we can do a little bit of adjustments, we can zoom in on the quartets and some of that type of thing. But, you know, that's what we're going to do for this broadcast. And then if this goes well, and we are starting, last time I checked, I think we had 10 subscribers, and it's the type of thing where I think they expect most people will subscribe right close to the time of the show. But, you know, we're looking at it that if this goes well for our future shows, in particular the big one in the spring next year, just before International, we may look into having multiple cameras. That's more complex. You have to have somebody that's going to be, if you will, a kind of a show producer that will be handling the switching between cameras and that sort of thing. But that's a possibility for the future if we find that this is a beneficial thing, and it gives us the opportunity to bring what we do to a lot of folks that live far away and have seen us at International, and they're familiar with us doing a couple of songs, but they've not really seen us do everything we can do.
I think it's a great idea. Barbershop's kind of an odd fraternity in a wide geographic area, and we want to see what's happening in each other's courses, especially the top-level courses. And if you can keep costs under control and watch what's going on in other areas, of course, as more and more people do webcasts, you know, the costs are going to come down. So if you can keep that under control, I think you're going to see a lot of interest in this area.
I think this particular company set up to do it at a standard $25, which is a good price, because it's a little bit more than our cheapest seats. So, you know, it encourages local people to still come and see us, but it's not prohibitive for those that live far away. And so I think it's a nice balance in terms of making it available, you know, in appropriate circumstances.
Yeah. Well, great. I think it's fantastic. Anything else about the show that I forgot to ask you?
No, I think it's going to be as enjoyable for the choruses as it is for the audience. It's you know, the whole day is we're having an afterglow for the performers. That's sold out, and it's in the same facility. So you know, immediately when this is done, the people in the show can kind of celebrate the whole day, and it's the first chance for the choruses to do something like this together. So I think the audience is going to feel how special the day is, and so will the performers. And usually when that happens, the result is a pretty spectacular show. And so that's what I'm expecting.
Well, thanks, Brad, for being with us today. And believe it or not, Brad's wife, Adele, is a bass section leader in the Pride of Baltimore chorus and one of the co-chair persons for the show. So I was able to talk to her also on the same call. So Adele, what is your position in the chorus, and what do you have to bring to the table today?
Well, I am a bass on the front row, the Pride of Baltimore chorus. I'm also the bass administrator, which I try to keep all our 30-some bases accounted for. And right now I am co-chair of the joint show with the Alexandria Harmonizers.
Okay. Well, my interest in this whole thing, I've been part of the Harmonizers. I've only been a member for a couple weeks now. I've been visiting for about a little over 2 months. And I happened to come in at a time that's kind of a landmark in the history of both choruses, the first time that you've done a joint show together, and really am intrigued by the way the whole process happened. Maybe first of all, how did you ever come to the place of pulling Joe in as a director, having, you know, him also being the director of the Harmonizers?
Well, after our founding director, Janet Ashford, passed away in January, we needed to do a director search, and we put out, you know, some feelers around for people to put in applications, and we really only got, I believe, 3 applications by, you know, the April 1st deadline we had. Mm-hmm. And two of those people were already in our chorus, and one of them decided to back out and kind of carry us through the process, you know, be our kind of assistant director to keep us going while we were looking for another director. And so then we took several rehearsals, two with Joe and two with the other applicant, and had them come in and teach us a song and show what a rehearsal would be like under them. And it was a tough decision because they're both very good and have very different talents and everything. But it was, I wouldn't say unanimous to hire Joe, but it was a very good percentage of the chorus elected to have Joe be our new director.
Yeah. That's interesting because, you know, I've been involved in a number of smaller choruses and talked to many of them in the middle of director searches. And as hard as it is for a small chorus to find a director, it's probably just as difficult for an already championship chorus to, you know, as intimidating as that is to also be involved in a director search.
That's correct. We were warned that because of our high placements at our international contests, that either people would be afraid to audition for us because
exactly.
of our high level, or there wouldn't be, and then there wouldn't be that many people out there, you know, really capable of the advanced type of techniques we need to know and do, you know, to keep up our level. So it was quite challenging.
Yeah. I'm involved in both mailing lists on the Barbershop Harmony Society side and the Adeline side. And so I've seen some of the email traffic since you hired Joe, and it seems like things have been very positive there. Maybe tell me a little bit about what the transition was like, and then how has the whole joint show thing been perceived or accepted in the Pride of Baltimore chorus?
Well, everyone in the chorus is just thrilled to be doing a joint show with the Alexandria Harmonizers, and that actually started even before we had applications in for the director search. And I think it's something everybody's been kind of wanting to do for a long time, but the schedules just wouldn't work out that way. And of course, now that it's the same director, it's even more exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But, well, you know, whenever you're getting a new director, there's always going to be some people that are worried about what it's going to be like. And especially since we only had one other director as our, you know, in our chorus before. So a lot of people were still wondering, you know, what it was going to be like and that type of thing. And a few people, you know, have gone on leave to just see what's going on and that type of thing. But the majority of people have been there every week and seem to be having a great time under Joe. And he just amazes us every week with his knowledge.
Yeah.
So we're having a good time, and there's still be more bumps in the road while we figure out, you know, how to work under him and that type of thing. And there's a lot of stuff we need to come up to speed on, you know, advertising and all that kind of things that we haven't, you know, been doing too well on in the recent years. But
mm-hmm.
we're learning, so we're having a good time.
Well, good. Directing style between a female and a male, is there like distinct differences, or is it all the same?
Well, there are differences between the male and female, but really between all the different directors. Some are more, you know, smooth and fluid, and some are kind of a little choppier kind of thing. But the funny thing is that a lot of the things that Joe says and does reminds us a lot of our previous director, and I think that's encouraging for everybody to know that he has a basic basic desires and wants that, you know, our previous director did, and that a lot of us do,
mm-hmm.
to continue to perfect this barbershop hobby we're in.
There you go. Yeah. Just between me and you, what do you really think of Scarborough Fair?
I think it is the most fun I've ever had in my entire life. And I can say that because I'm a bass, so I get to do some of the melodies here. It's interesting. It's quite a challenge, I think, for a lot of people in our chorus, that they were kind of like maybe dragging their feet a little bit, hoping it would go away. But now that we're into it, and we had the joint rehearsals, and they can hear how it all goes together, I think it's the favorite of everybody.
Yeah, it was. I picked up my guest book and went home and really. You know, I'm a fairly decent musician, and so I don't typically have to look at music much through the week, and can pick up a lot of stuff on rehearsal evenings. And I come back the next week when I put my application in, and it happened to be the week right before we did the joint rehearsal, and we're going through Scarborough Fair, and I just, you know, it was completely foreign because I couldn't, there was nothing intuitive about it.
Definitely not.
you have to actually know that music in order to sing it. So I put my time in since then to put it together. So, but it is, it's fantastic, you know, once it's pulled together. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Right. Yeah, it's a lot of fun when all of a sudden you're singing in unison with somebody, and then all of a sudden you're not.
Right, there's so much going
another
on.
Another group of somebody else. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the other side of it is that my daughter-in-law is a music major, and I'm hoping she can come to the, I bought her a ticket at least, I'm hoping she can come to the performance because, you know, that's a song that she is going to really love as a music major, hearing all those, the complexity and both choruses together, so it'll be really
cool. Right.
So, well, the venue that you picked looks like a really really cool venue, and you guys, was your international contest at Nashville just a week or so ago?
Yes, it was.
Okay,
it was.
And you guys did not compete this year?
We did not compete because after Janet died in January. We kind of explored the alternative of having someone else just take us to international, but, you know, I think everybody was just so like, all over the place.
Yeah.
Because the emotional side of things that we couldn't really, cement that. So Sweet Adelines was kind of, you know, asking us if we were going to go, because if we weren't going, then the second place chorus could go, and, you know, they needed to have time to prepare and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So we decided not to go and let the second place chorus go instead.
Wow. So you guys were actually seated in first place.
Well, pretty close.
Okay. Wow, that's incredible.
Well, we've come in second several times, and we've always been like
first
one day and then not the next type of thing. So yes, we were up there with the best. So it was kind of
that had to be a tough decision.
So
I guess
we're ready for the next time.
Gearing up for next year.
Well, actually, in the Sweet Adelines, you go every year and a half. So
oh, okay.
In April, we compete at our regional contest, and then the winners of that contest go to Houston, I think it is, somewhere in Texas, in 2011. So it'll be a few more years before we get to go.
I don't know how involved you are with the music team and with Joe, but what all do you have planned in the meantime to really get you geared up for the next international?
Well, of course, we have the regional contest in April. So I know Joe's been working with the music team to come up with two new songs, and I believe he has those in the back of his head, and he's checking out some arrangements or having arrangements made for us or whatever they do, and he won't tell us what we are.
I saw him teasing you on Facebook with those.
That's right. So I don't know anything other than that. I'm sure there'll be fantastic songs, and we can hardly wait to have brand new songs under Joe so we can start all on the same page.
Well, I really appreciate your time taking a couple minutes for me today, and look forward to seeing you at the show.
Okay.
All right, Adele, thanks a lot.
All right, thank you.
We'll see you.
Bye.
Well, we want to thank both Brad and Adele for their time today. If you need tickets to the show, go to harmonizers.org or prideofbaltimorechorus.com. And if the tickets are all gone, which they soon will be, sign up for the webcast. Anywhere in the world, you can log in across the internet for a couple bucks. Watch the historic show, Pride of Baltimore Chorus, combined with the Alexandria Harmonizers. Thanks to our technology guru, Mike Kelly, for setting that up. And we'll see you here next time. I'm Dean Martin, and you're listening to HarmaCast.com.
Day, this has been, what a rare mood I'm in. Why, it's almost like being in love. There's a smile on my face.
Duct tape was invented a long time before you were born by somebody really smart. The end.
Can't you ask me an intelligent question?
I didn't want to confuse you.